Hallelujah. Well, I've got a little bit of time left. Do you think I can get through this? Debbie's confidently saying no. Hallelujah. Well, let's start out with our favorite Bible verse. Hopefully you've said this a while we didn't have church. Amen? Okay, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And we've been stressing as we are in this series of Saved from Sin that every place isn't a physical, natural place. It's an inner place in us. In every place, no matter what's going on, God diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place within us. And so we need to understand that, because we always think out there, but it's in us. It's in us. There's places within us that God wants to pour out his blessing on. He wants to pour out his grace upon. He wants to pour out his revelation upon. In us. In us. It's not just those people. It's not just out there. It's in us. Aren't you glad he hasn't quit on us? Aren't you glad that no matter what level you're at in your faith or your walk with God now, aren't you glad there's more? You know, there's more to discover, there's more to find, there's more to get excited about. You haven't reached the end yet, hallelujah. You haven't reached the epitome of all wisdom and all accumulation of knowledge that you're ever going to get. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is the neat thing about revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge, you can get that if you don't even know how to speak a language. God can give you revelation. You can get understanding without having to go to college or cemetery or any of these places. Like you can be blessed of the Lord because he'll give you wisdom and give you understanding if you seek of him. Amen? In every place, hallelujah. One of our foundation verses out of this is Matthew 1:21, and it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And to give you a reminder, the word save there is a Greek word sozo. It's a verb. It means to deliver. It's the number one word used for healing. When it says Jesus healed them, he sozoed them. He healed them. But it's also used of saved, that in a general sense in the scripture, when you come across the word saved, it's the word sozo. And it literally means to be delivered from temporary evils. Okay, I don't know if you can grasp this or not. I hope I can say it in the right way so you can. But you can be saved and not go to heaven. Now, that's because we equate salvation with eternal life. You can be saved from a temporary situation and still not have eternal life, still not be born again. So I want to be cautious about that, because we equate saved with salvation, that we're going to heaven when you die. And here, saved, this word sozo means to be delivered from temporary situations. Now, to have eternal life, you've got to be born again. You've got to invite Jesus Christ in your life, and you can be born again. And you are saved, because that salvation is now, you're also delivered not only to heaven, not only to know God, but you're saved out of temporary evils too. Hallelujah. So, but you can be saved out of a temporary evil, a temporary situation. And we've seen people that have done that God will supernaturally heal them. God will supernaturally pay off debts. God will get them out of all kinds of trouble. And then they go right back into the world and live like they've never known God or never been to church or anything. And there's no appreciation. There's no thanksgiving. Well, they were saved, but they weren't saved. You know, they were delivered from a temporary problem, but they weren't born again. And we need to be just to be aware of that. But one of the neat words about sozo is it's a verb, which means it's continually active. See, God is continually active saving the earth. He's continually active in saving us. Amen. He's continually active. He is, like Debbie said before, and he is Jehovah Jireh. He sees our need before we even have an awareness of it. And he's already made a process and a way for us to escape the destruction that the enemy has set out for us. And so with that, he's continually working to save us, to deliver us out of temporary evils. You know, he's continually at work within us to do these things. So we are saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. All those things are true. When we say I'm saved, it's like, well, I know I'm born again, but I know I'm in the process of being saved. I'm still growing in my salvation. I'm still growing in my knowledge. I'm growing in my wisdom. But there will be one day when I will be saved. That means I'm made whole, spirit, soul, and body. Everything's integrated. Everything is now flowing together. I'm not having to fight my flesh. I'm not having to fight my mind. I'm not having to struggle with things because now I am saved. But I am saved now. But it's that verb, it's that continual process of it. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. I'm going to try to read this. We've done this for several weeks, but I'm going to try to get through all this because there's a point I want to make here. But Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, likewise, you also, that means us, amen, likewise, you reckon yourselves, that's an accounting term, to reckon yourself, account yourself, to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, because we're alive to God and we're dead to sin, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. In other words, don't go back the way it used to go. Don't stay in the same thinking that you had before you were saved, because now you're free from sin. So he says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, I got to preach on this, because I know I'm not going to get through everything. So I'll give you some snippets. That is so crucial. Do not present your members of instruments as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Most Christians even, we present ourselves to God, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm unworthy. I come to you, God, because I'm not worthy of God to stand in your presence. Well, if you weren't worthy to stand in his presence, guess what? You wouldn't be standing in his presence. And if you didn't have access, God wouldn't even hear your prayer. So if you don't believe you're worthy to stand in his presence, why bother praying? Because he's not going to hear it anyway. Well, why do we pray to God? Why do we ask him to help us? How can a sinner come to the throne of God and say, Lord, help, and be born again, if God has shut him out and God refuses to hear the prayer of an unrighteous man? Because God wants to hear it. And God has made a way, an avenue through Jesus Christ for us to come to him. So we need to understand that when we come to God, we are presenting ourselves alive as born-again believers. We are presenting ourselves alive to God, Christ in me. Say, I'm alive. I'm not an old dead thing. You know, I'm not saying, well, Lord, I'm a skunk and here's my smell that I'm bringing before you. No. Here I am, God. I'm alive in you, God. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm born again. I thank you, God, that I have the full privilege to come before you as a son. You know, my dad told me when I was older, he said, because we were talking about sermon preparation, and I said, how did you do it? He said, let me tell you, it was hard with a little boy that always wanted to be in my lap. He said, when he would prepare sermons at his desk, I'd always want to come in the office, and I'd want to crawl up in his lap. And he'd work on his sermon while I'm in his lap. Maybe that's why all he preached about was love, tolerance, and patience, and long-suffering. Because I'm sure I was a busy kid, and I'm sure I wanted to play with all the papers he had in front of him, and I wanted to pick up this pen, and I wanted to push that away. And if I had a candy in my mouth, I'm sure it got messy and everything. But he let me do it. Well, if my natural father will let me do that, what about my heavenly father? So I don't need to come before God apologizing. I need to come and say, Lord, I thank you I can come before you because I am presenting myself alive to you and dead to sin. Lord, I might have messed up. I might have messed up royally. I might have done what I think is an unpardonable sin. But yet, Lord, I come to you and present myself alive to you. Forgive me, cleanse me, make me whole, make me complete. But God, I'm presenting myself alive to you, God, that you've forgiven me of my sin. Now, that's crucial to come before God that way. Amen? He says in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now, if sin has dominion, I may not move out of this. When sin has dominion and you present yourself to God, what you wind up doing is just running to God and with every fault you've ever had. Has anybody other than me done that in here? You know, just, I come before you, God, Lord, I've been so miserable this week. God, I've messed up here, I messed up there, I messed up here. Do you think that God just finds out about it when you tell him? You know, are we really that slow? But some people, well, if I don't tell and confess it to God, he'll never find out. Oh, when I was a little boy, I said, well, I can get by with this, and if I don't tell my parents, they'll never know. It didn't work. Oh, I wish it would have, but it didn't work. You know, they always talk about moms have eyes in the back of their heads. Oh, my. It's kind of like when mom used to call me, and we'd be playing out with the neighborhood kids, and she'd call, Gordon. No big deal. Gordon. That's just mom. Gordon Lynn. Well, yeah, gotta go. Now. I can't wait. I got right now. It's like when she throws that middle name in, I'm in serious trouble. I have got to respond now. And see, but that's a sin consciousness. I'm in trouble. How many times do we go to God because we're in trouble? See, that's a sin consciousness. Oh, God, I really messed up this time. Oh, God, could you ever forgive me for this one thing? It's like, yeah. He can, he does, he has, you know. But we come to God with a sin consciousness. We come to God with this sin attitude. He says in 14 again, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Oh, God, I thank you. I can come before you, God. I can be a royal screw-up. I can mess everything up in my life, but, God, I come before you, oh, God, by your grace, by your mercy, by your openness, God. It's not because I'm worthy. It's not because I've done everything so perfect that I'm approaching you, God, but I thank you, Father. I can come before you because of your grace and your mercy. And that's the only way any of us can ever approach him, because you're never worthy enough. You're never... You'll never attain the level of righteousness that God demands by yourself. It's only in Christ. Therefore, he says, go back to verse 11, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. You got to start looking at the sin in your life as being dead, being past, being over. And let it go. Just stop meditating on it. Oh, but God, oh, but I've done all these things. God knows, and he still has grace for you, and he's not going to run out of grace. Don't ever think that you're the one that's going to use up all of his grace, and God's going to say, where can God go to get more grace? Where can he go and say, can you fill this up? Because my grace is really low. Now, sometimes my grace does get low, you know, and I have to go to God, and I have to get a fill up, but praise God, he doesn't have to be refilled. He is the God of love, amen? He is love, light, and life. There is no death in him. There is no shadow of turning in him at all, hallelujah. So it says, count yourselves, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Now, we're verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. What kind of a thought is that? If I'm thinking, raising the question, If I'm under grace and I can sin and I can get by, guess what? Your sin consciousness. You're living under the law because your immediate thought is, I can get by with this because God has given me grace. You don't get by with it. I'm telling you, you do not get by with it. Do you mean I'm going to lose my salvation? Let me put it this way. Do saved people really think that way? To save people really think, I can get by with doing bad stuff now because I'm God's chosen. Is that how saved people think? See, immediately on the inside say, well, that's just not right. But there's people that think that way. The mafia, go out and kill somebody Saturday night, go to Mass Sunday morning, take the communion, put the wafer in, drink the wine. Hey, they're okay. And they're planning a hit for Monday, but they're okay. Well, do you think they're really saved? Do you think Jesus is thinking, well, God, I've got all your favor. I've got all your blessing. Man, I can really have a wild night with the prostitutes. Because I've got grace. I can go and hang Judas myself. I can help him out because I've got grace. God says, who are you? Remember the sons of thunder? Jesus? Can we call down fire on them? I mean, and they, you know, because the, in the Old Testament, they had a prophet. He called down fire on the, on this people. And God devoured them. God honored him. Can we do it too? You remember what Jesus said? You don't know what spirit you're of. Because you're walking according to the letter of the law. By the law, they had the right to condemn. By the law, they had the right to call down fire. But we're not under the law. We're under grace. And if we're under grace, the way we ought to respond to other people is by the letter of the law. No, I didn't say that right. If we're under grace and we live by grace, we respond to other people with grace, right? So this is kind of what he's talking about. Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? No. I can almost hear Paul saying, what kind of fools are you to think you can get by with it just because you've got grace now? So this is, oh man, because we don't have time to go there, I can't go there. But it's like, but because we've been given grace, we want to live in grace. We want to live in that mercy because we live in that grace. Where's it? Titus? What's the scripture, Debbie? Titus? Okay, I think it's Titus 2, 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us. See, if you've really received the grace of God, the grace of forgiveness, the grace of being born again, it teaches you. If you live in the grace, you'll learn stuff. Isn't that cool? It'll teach you. And he goes in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Oh, see, the first thing grace teaches you is don't go there. You know, well, I'm saved by grace. I can go into any bar I want to. Well, you can, but why are you going in the bar? If it's to witness, you're okay. If it's to drink, you're in trouble. You know, but the first thing that the grace begins to teach you is don't keep doing the dumb stuff you used to do. If God delivered you from it, then that ought to be a witness to us to not do those things. Because it got us in trouble the first time, and you'll get into trouble the next time. So he says that it teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Grace will teach you how to live correctly. Grace will teach you how to live properly. Grace will teach you how to live among other people that don't know grace. Grace will teach you those things. But if you've never experienced grace, you're not going to know that stuff. And this is part of our problem. Oh, God, thank you for grace, but we don't let grace teach us. Because we want to keep living the way we used to and just let the grace cover us. And we know instinctively, because we're born again, we know instinctively that's not right. That's not the right way. Now, I'll tell you where I'm going. We won't get there next week now, but because you're just holding me up. But but part of the problem is dealing with our conscience, dealing with our old man. We'll get into that. Now, the old man is crucified, but there's thought remnants that remain, and those thought remnants will always condemn you and judge you every time you do something wrong. And so there's that renewing of our mind, because we're to present ourselves alive to God, not with all of our sins. Present ourselves alive to God. Now, when you start doing that, you approach God in a whole different way than you used to approach him. Because I'm coming to God as a child of his. I'm coming to God as one that honors him. I'm coming to my Father because I love and respect him, and I'm part of him. I'm not coming to God as a stranger. And if you have a sin consciousness, if you haven't died to sin, every time you come to God, you're coming to Him as a stranger, like you've never met each other before. And when you do that, you're going to always be in judgment, always be in condemnation. He says in 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." 15, "What then shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not." 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness?" See, who you present yourself to. And now understand, you can fight sin and not submit to it. Submission is a willing submission. Okay? But people will, if you are continually willing to submit yourself to ungodliness, then you're going to feel separate from God, because you're going to become slaves to sin. You're going to become servants to the one that you submit to. But if you submit yourself to God, "I'm alive to God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Your grace is teaching me, God. Your grace is helping me. Your grace, I'm not doing stupid things because I want to. I just do it because I just do dumb things sometimes. But God, I'm presenting myself to you." When you begin to live that way, grace will teach you. Grace will strengthen you. Grace will uphold you. Grace will hold your hand. And all of a sudden, I'm walking with God. This has worked in my life in so many different ways. But the habits I used to have, I would wake up one morning and they're just gone. How I would realize that how I used to respond in this situation, I don't respond that way anymore. You know, but it's a growth process. But his fragrance is becoming known and revealed in every place. In every place. Well, if you light a scented candle in one room, you can't go into the faraway room and immediately smell the fragrance of it. But if you let that candle burn all day, everywhere you go in that house, that fragrance is there. And when you start presenting yourself to God properly and appropriately, everywhere you go, you find the presence of God. And now you know you're never far from Him. He sticks closer than a brother. He's always there. He's our comforter. He's our friend. He's the one that never abandons us. He's the one that never leaves us. Even when we do dumb things, He's still, "I'm here. Just reach out to me. I'm here. Don't walk in condemnation, but come to me." Let's go to 17 and 18, last two verses. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin," notice past tense, talking to believers, "though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." In other words, you heard about the new birth. You heard about being born again. You heard about being saved. And you gave yourself to that rather than the old way of living. See, this is the separation. This is the separation that begins to come upon us. And verse 18, "And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." Oh, slaves to the things of God. Somebody said, "Well, I don't want to be a slave to anybody." Well, you are. You're a slave to something. You're a slave of either sin. Paul only gives you two choices. You're either a slave of sin or you're a slave of righteousness. "Well, I don't want God to just tell me what to do." That's like saying you don't want a fireman to put out the fire in your house. You don't want the policeman to stop the robber that's trying to steal from you. See, submitting yourself to God is submitting yourself to life, submitting yourself to health, submitting yourself to a right way of thinking, submitting yourself to freedom and liberty. It's submitting yourself to, "Oh, God, I thank you, God, you're with me. I thank you, God, I don't have to struggle with condemnation anymore because you've set me free." This is submitting yourself to God. It's submitting yourself to life, to righteousness. Isn't that a good thing to submit yourself to? We see the world all the time. They're submitting themselves to this sin, to that sin, to this cause, to that cause. And all it winds up in is being death. That's all it finishes up in. It all leads to the same place. But if you submit yourself to righteousness, guess where that's going to lead you? To the throne of God. And you'll be able to stand before the throne. And I love these words in the scripture. It says, don't you want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant? It doesn't mean you did everything right. David didn't do everything right. David messed up a whole bunch of times. And yet God says, I'm going to model the kingdom of the Messiah after him. Because David's a man after my own heart. Do you think when David got to before God, that God said, David, you really disappointed me. David, you really messed up. David, oh, you were such a problem kid. I had to smack you down every now and then. David, why did you put me through all this? No, he looked at David and said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Why? Because even at David's worst time, he was still sensitive to the Lord. And every time he goofed up, he came back to the Lord. Do you know the neat thing about God? He doesn't keep a list of your sins. He can't. Why do I say he can't? He's already forgiven them. See, we keep thinking, this is the being submission to sin. When you submit to that, you're conscious of your individual sin. And so we think it is our individual sins that have separated us from God. It's not your individual sin, it's your lack of belief in God. It's a lack of your trust that God has saved us, that God has delivered us. It's your lack of faith that God has died and carried all my sins away, that God has broken the power of sin over my life. He set me free from these things. Therefore, I can freely submit to God. And I can wait and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because my heart was right toward God. And it's his righteousness, not mine, that causes me to be born again. Amen. Amen. Did you get something out of this? Well, that's my introduction. And we'll continue next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand up. I tell you, if we understood the goodness of God, you would worship him. Isn't that true? You would worship him. You'd just say, thank you, Lord. Every time you walk, thank you, Lord. Every time you go to bed, thank you, Lord. Every time you had a meal, thank you, Lord. Every time you got dressed, thank you, Lord. You just because he is so good. You know, let praise be continually in my mouth, oh God, for your goodness. Father God, we come before you. We thank you, Jesus, that you have died for us. God, that you've died for the whole world. And Father, we thank you that we are aware of this, of your righteousness toward us. And God, we have responded. But God, we pray for those who haven't yet responded. We pray, Father, for them to come into your kingdom, to yield to you, to submit to you. God, to let your love surround them and cleanse them and deliver them out of every snare that the fowler has set for them. God, we give you praise that your desire is for all people to be born again, all people, God, to know who you are and to walk with you, Father. We pray this, God, for our world, our family. We pray for it ourselves, God, that you would draw us closer and closer to you. We ask it all, Father, and we give you praise for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God bless you.